Hey, all, thank you for joining us today at I-80 Sports. Today, we are recapping the NFC North 2020 season. As usual, we're joined today by Steve. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. As we look forward to recapping the NFC South, you said North in the intro.
Because that's what's written in the show, Doc. South, though. And let's get started. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers went out and signed Tom Brady this offseason. He threw 401 times for 4,633 yards, 50 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. He had a tandem of Ronald Jones Jr. and Leonard Fournette. Ronald Jones had 192 rushes for 978 yards, 7 touchdowns. He also added 28 receptions for 233 and a touch. Leonard Fournette had 97 rushes for 367 yards, 6 touchdowns. He also caught 36 balls for 233 yards during the regular season. Mike Evans, 70 receptions for 1,006 yards, 13 touchdowns. He had Chris Godwin, 65 receptions for 840 yards and 7 touchdowns over, I think that was 12 games. And Rob Gronkowski, 45 receptions, 623 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Let's go over to Steve. What are your reactions about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2020?
Well, you know, remember back when, way back when Peyton went from Indy to Denver, and it took him a few years to finally win that Super Bowl with his second team? Brady did it in his first year. Yeah. And, you know, a fascinating thing is, and it's been talked about a lot, that in 2021, all 11 offensive starters are returning. But when you look at all of the contributors, it's more than just the starting 11. You know, there are three or four other players out there. Antonio Brown may resign, that we don't know yet. But you also have to take into account Scotty Miller, who's been a consistent contributor, Tyler Johnson, who a lot of people like in Dynasty, plus OJ Howard is coming back from injury. So this offense has a lot of dangerous pieces to give other defenses fits in 2021.
Absolutely. And sometimes when a team's clicking on all cylinders, especially with a new quarterback coming into town, it's easy to say, hey, defense won the ring. And I mean, you got the defensive stars there, Devin White, Levante David, Ndamukong Suh, you got Jason Pierre-Paul, you got superstars that absolutely obliterated offenses, including Kansas City in the Super Bowl. However, I do want to point out, they scored 31 points, 30 points, 31 points, and 31 points in those four playoff games. That is consistent offensive production. Defense stepped up, shut down KC. The rest is history. Now, one of the stories here for me is about getting healthy at the right time with all these players clicking, and they had their entire offensive force heading into the playoffs, including like Gronk playing healthy, playing great at the right time. He caught 6 of his 7 targets for 67 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Super Bowl, best game of his career. So for me, it's not only that they played so well, it's that they got hotter as the season went on and really peaked in that Super Bowl game with everyone healthy, with their full contingency of players there. So that for me is the story. Getting hot at the right time, winning football games.
Well, I you know, and one of the funny things is one of the running gags that you and I had in 2020 was Rojo versus Fournette. You know, and Rojo was the fantasy season winner, but Fournette was the playoff winner. And it does make me wonder, do you think that 2021 will repeat that? Because they did re-sign Fournette to a $3 million deal on 1 year. But, you know, do you think that they'll repeat that? Rojo gets the majority of the work during this regular season and Fournette gets the playoff work? What do you think?
Absolutely not. I am a Fournette guy through and through. And if you looked at the playoff work here, he had 300 yards in 4 games on the ground. He had 18 receptions on 21 targets. That's fantastic. Another 148 yards there. That's almost 550 yards and 4 touchdowns in those 4 games. Leonard Fournette proves that he is the guy. I don't see any reason why you would spell him to keep him fresh for the playoffs. I think you just got to go with the hot hand. And I think these two have different skill sets, and I think they're going to be used. But I would expect Fournette to be a little more used throughout the season. I mean, there were 4 games where he didn't play a snap. So, you know, I definitely think the touches go up.
Because he was considering asking to leave the team. That's why he didn't play those 4 games. Bruce Arians was able to convince him to stay along. but you know, and then Rojo getting injured, that really like helped him keep up his make up his mind of okay. Well,
It helped them realize the talent they have in Leonard Fournette. Mm-hmm. A touchdown in every playoff game this season. You've got to start your studs.
Rojo was a stud too. You know, I mean, I know that we have our disagreements on a lot of things, but you know, we can both agree Rojo was a stud because his yardage went up again. Yards per game was up 5.1. His yardage was up. He had almost 1,000 yards, and his touchdowns went up again. Even if it was only by one, the touchdowns went up. And now we're looking at Rojo in a contract year, and we know that that a lot of good players, even you know they normally show up in a contract year. So you know
now I agree to disagree on that fact alone. I think maybe you could argue that the Buccaneers, if they don't plan on signing him, should just run his wheels off next year. So maybe mm-hmm. we might see that happening. But there were, you know, he had three 100-yard games. He had that almost 200-yard game against Carolina where he scored a touchdown there. He doesn't bring receiving upside. I mean, he's just not being used. 28 of his 42 targets were caught. I'm going to go on Fournette. But I do think that there is place on this team for both these players to be successful.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, the thing is that even in Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette, he was great in the playoffs when they had that playoff run. So, you know, I mean, I would see more success for Fournette with the playoffs because he's always shown up there than during the regular season where he's always iffy.
I would argue that he's not iffy. It's just he plays when he's called on, and he wasn't mm-hmm. called on really until the playoffs. But let's move on. I want to talk a little about Antonio Brown because he may or may not be coming back to this team. He had 45 catches. Only played half the season, catching 72% of his balls, actually over 72% of his balls, four touchdowns, steady 10.7 yards per reception. Now, mm-hmm. here's my thing. If you look at Godwin's with Brown, without Brown splits, they're about the same. So a lot of people are arguing that Brown really didn't bite into Godwin's work. However, Godwin was hurt for a long time. And even when he came back, I feel like he was never really came back to 100%. Mm-hmm. And he never went into, you know, God mode status. I think he finished as a wide receiver one, but we were talking about him being the wide receiver one and only finished at the bottom of the tier. So although the stats don't bear it out, I do think that these two guys are going to feed into each other a little bit. Brown was on pace for a 16-game pace of 966 yards, 8 touchdowns, 90 receptions. That would have him as wide receiver 18, bumping Juju from being wide receiver 18 over last season. So I just wanted to touch on, how do you feel this is going forward? Because I feel like even though the stats don't show Brown biting into Godwin's work, I feel like him being there would keep Godwin from being that ascendant force.
I would say it all depends on Mike Evans. Because, you know, I think that Mike Evans is Brady's go-to guy. Even after AB got there, he was still targeting Mike Evans. It all just trickles down from there. We're gonna see if AB resigns. If he does, then we might have a full season where we can see the full effectiveness of how this offense is going to look, because you know if all three of these receivers play four games, we're going to have a strong enough sample size to make a logical assumption of how this season of how the rest of 2021 is going to pan out. That's just my opinion on it.
So we will see where Antonio Brown lands and what that means to everyone else. But if he's out, I think Godwin, that cap is removed and he can, you know, the sky's the limit for Chris Godwin. But let's move on to the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints won the NFC South at 12-4, but were defeated by Buccaneers in the divisional round. Here are the offensive contributors for the New Orleans Saints. You had Drew Brees, 275 passes for 2,942 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. You had Alvin Kamara, 187 rushes for 932, 16 touchdowns. He also added 83 receptions for 876 and 5. Latavius Murray, 146 rushes, 656 yards, 4 touchdowns. You had Manny Sanders, 61 receptions for 726 and 5. And Jared Cook, just because we need to have a tight end listed, 37 receptions, 504 yards, 7 touchdowns. Not bad. Steve, reactions on the New Orleans Saints 2020 season?
You know, looking back at this offense, for a team that was missing Michael Thomas for much of the year, plus Drew Brees missing a stretch of games, and this team still won the NFC South. It is a testament to two things: the strength of this roster and the coaching of Sean Payton. Now, I know it's a 2020 recap, but you know, looking forward to 2021, they're losing a lot of pieces on offense, including Drew Brees. But even though that's happening, I still believe that Sean Payton can get it done for this team. I don't think they're going to win the South again. But you know, I know that people are concerned about Kamara, but honestly, Sean Payton loves him. Sean Payton paid him the big money. Sean Payton loves this guy he's going to get touches and opportunities. And so I say that you still draft him as a top five back. Michael Thomas, that's the one who I'm more hesitant in. But Kamara.
Let's get back to Kamara, because that's where I'm going to push back on this. He's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season.
He doesn't need
it. His upside comes. His floor is his rushing. His upside is his receiving. If you look, he's had 120 rushes, 194, 171, 187. I'm going to pencil him in for 185 next year. Probably under 200, probably under 1,000 yards. Look at his receptions. 81, 81, 81, 83. That is what I see when Drew Brees isn't there. Plummeting. Now let's look at his stats from last season. In the five games where Brees was out or limited, I included his game where he got injured.
That's fair.
58 yards rushing per game, 2.6 receptions for 18 yards, 0.8 touchdowns. Over the course of a full season, that's 931 rushing yards, 42 grabs for 291 rushing yards and 13 total touchdowns. 192 fantasy points leaves him at RB12.
Now, to me, in 12 team.
Yeah, but it's not the running back one, which is what I'm saying. It's the receptions. I mean, Drew Brees hyper targeted Alvin Kamara. When Drew Brees is not there, will the next guy? I think Alvin Kamara could be the running back 1, 2, or 3 next year, but that ceiling is now a question mark where it was etched in steel in 2020, in 2019, in 2018. And that to me is where the hesitation is. Maybe, you know, he's 27 years old.
Yeah.
His dynasty relevance is dwindling. Maybe now is the time to pick him up. Maybe now is the time to pick him up, because I'm on Twitter and I hear everyone saying, sell Alvin Kamara, buy Alvin Kamara, sell. He's volatile now. He's never had that in his career before. He's never been volatile. He's always been set it and forget it.
Yeah,
the rotisserie?
I know what you're talking about.
I didn't forget. Okay, let's.
There's no rotisseries worth $16 million a year. So
fair enough. Let's head down to Carolina. Carolina Panthers started 3-3, finished 5-11, third in the NFC South. Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater with 342 passes for 3,733 yards, 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He also rushed 53 times for 642 yards and 6 touchdowns. You had Mike Davis, 165 rushes for 642 yards, 6 touchdowns. He also grabbed 59 balls for 373-2. You had DJ Moore, 66 receptions, 1,193 yards, 4 touchdowns. You had Robbie Anderson, star of the team, 95 receptions, 1,096 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Curtis Samuel, 77 receptions for 851 yards and 3 touchdowns. Steve, Carolina Panthers 2020 season.
Honestly, when you look at the Panthers schedule and you see 9 of their 11 losses, they were only by one score. Like, and a few of them were by less than a touchdown. And even against some of the best teams in the league, you want to know the only team they lost to by double digits twice?
Who is it?
The Buccaneers. That's the only team they lost to more than 2 scores. But the problem was Bridgewater. He didn't answer the call at any time in those 2-minute drills, because there were a few of those games where, like, the Packers game really sticks out to me, where Teddy Bridgewater had 2+ minutes to take the team and beat the Packers, and I think he threw a pick in that game. So yeah,
absolutely. Mike Davis played very, very well. Christian McCaffrey only had, I think, 3 games this past season, and Mike Davis didn't crush them. He's obviously not Christian McCaffrey, but he did well for your fantasy teams. He was, I assume, a league winner in many cases, helped a lot of people make it to the playoffs. Now, Curtis Samuel is off to Washington, possibly back to the slot with Scary Terry on the outside. Might be a better situation for him. For me, the fantasy community is always in on Curtis Samuel, and now is the final time. He's either making it this year or he's not it. So I love to get the film on Curtis Samuel. I wish him all the best. This might be the first season I'm in on Curtis Samuel, just because you can't outplay a situation, and he's been in a bad situation. I want to see what Curtis Samuel has to offer, and that's what has me excited for 2021.
Yeah, and last year was the best situation he was ever possibly put in. He had a coach that knew how to use him. But, you know, because Curtis Samuel is not as good as people think he is for fantasy football. You know, look at the numbers in half PPR. It's seven in the seven games where he actually put up numbers. And that's not counting week 17. I never count week 17 in my calculations for this. In those seven games, he averaged 16.3 points per game, which is far and away a wide receiver one. But look at those other seven games. And not counting the one where he didn't play. But those other seven games, he averaged 6.1 points per game, which makes me nervous because Curtis Samuel, we have a 14-game sample, seven games where he showed up, seven games where he didn't. And he is literally the definition of a hit or miss player. And that's how I am going to see him, hit or miss, until he can show me some consistency.
And we will see what he can offer over in Washington. Now, the one player I'm looking forward to in 2020 from this squad is absolutely the Jets reject. And no, I'm not talking about Sam Darnold. Robbie Anderson broke 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. He was wide receiver 24 on the season. Time to brag. I had him 29 in my ranks, while consensus had him at 59-60. So I was over 50% higher on Robbie Anderson than the rest of the fantasy community. I had him at 125 targets, 75 receptions, 1,125 yards, 4 touchdowns. He finishes with 136 targets, 95 receptions, 1,096, and 3 touchdowns. I projected him for 174 half PPR fantasy points. He finished with 176.7. Boom.
Go ahead, drop that mic. No, not really. It's a very expensive mic.
It's getting hot in here. Okay, let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons had a high-powered offense and one of the worst defenses in football that brought them to a 4-12 record. Finished fourth in the NFC South. That's at fourth out of four. Last, Matt Ryan, 407 passes, 4,581 yards, 26 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. You had Todd Gurley, 195 rushes, 678 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Brian Hill, 100 rushes, 465 yards in the touch. Calvin Ridley, 90 receptions, 1,374 yards and 9 touchdowns. Russell Gage, 72 for 786 and 4. Julio Jones, 51 receptions for 772 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Hayden Hurst, 56 receptions for 571 yards and 6 touchdowns. Steve, reactions, Atlanta Falcons, 2020.
Calvin Ridley showed that he was a top-notch wide receiver, even when Julio was not on the field, because there were stretches where Julio was just not there. And even when he was back, he wasn't the same Julio. And the offensive problems, the only problem with this offense was they had virtually no run game in between the 20s. Gurley had 9 touchdowns, but I think almost all of them were inside the 20, inside the red zone. And I remember that 3 of those touchdowns were within the 2-yard line, you know, but he just has no burst in his step, and that's why they didn't bring him back. And none of the other running backs on the roster, they had, you know, I mentioned Brian Hill because he got some work when Gurley got injured, but none of them had any burst. So the running back position is going to be a priority fix for the Falcons this season, because if this offense is one-dimensional again, then they're going to have a top 5 pick again. And it's just that simple.
Absolutely. I love the number 3 wide receiver on this team, whether it be Russell Gage. There were games where we saw Zacchaeus step up. So that's always going to be a spot of interest. I really am interested in seeing what Hayden Hurst has to bring up to the table from the tight end position, because I think we haven't seen the best from him yet. He was utilized and had some great games last season, but he put up a couple of one-catch games. If we can eliminate those, there we go. Now, my question is, what happens at the quarterback position. Atlanta has the number four pick. I expect them to trade down because Matt Ryan's not done yet. And here's the thing. This defense stinks. 398 yards per game against is terrible. 25.9 points per game against is like 19th out of 32. So it's bad, but it's not the worst. So what does that tell you? They're not giving up the most points, but they are giving up the most yardage, which is great for fantasy. Steady production. We're not worried about someone going off and grabbing three touchdowns because they're going to get the yardage. They're going to get the targets. They're going to get the receptions. Atlanta is a great defense to target for that reason. They're not giving up big plays. They're just giving up yardage all the time. So Absolutely love Atlanta. Their defense is terrible. I hope their defense stays terrible. And you know, you're not looking for some gimmicky touchdown dependence here. They're giving up yardage, which is what I love to see.
Yeah. I mean, who's the top rated defender in the draft? Do you know from the college guys?
I do know. And you guys can find out too when you go to i80sports.com, click on the college football tab, or go to youtube.com, hit that subscribe button, and check all our college football content. So the draft is coming up, Steve. We're going to have a lot of special features here over the next couple of weeks, including draft prep and draft predictions. Right now, seamlessly, there's almost like the college football group doesn't exist because they are doing NFL prep work. We're doing college prep work. In the next couple of weeks, you're going to see us combined and culminate to our draft special. So make sure you click subscribe. You join us on the NFL draft day. Steve, do you have any final words for us today?
Nope. Let's go ahead and call it a day.
All right. Thank you for joining us here at i80 Sports.